For some time, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi has made it his mission in life to revive the Ummah to the work of purification of the inner self, the soul. The main and the most beneficial time for this was the blessed month of Ramadan, when guests came and spent time with Hazrat. Most of his Ramadan were spent in Sahranpur, where hundreds of people came for i'tikaf and purified their hearts. This whole arrangement began and was continuous from Ramadan of 1365, July 1946. Though he was fortunate to spend some Ramadan in the blessed presence in Medina and Mecca as well. Aside from these two places, Hazrat had never spent Ramadan anywhere else. After he was instated to the honored position of Qutb al-Aqtab, he set his sights on rectifying the Muslim world and began planning and working on how to establish the line of dhikr in every continent. A large group of Hazrat's successors, Khulafa, who came every year to Hazrat in Saharanpur from South Africa, often requested that he visit them also. For some time, Hazrat also seemed inclined towards going to South Africa, though he had not made any final decision and it seemed unlikely considering his frailty and ailments. But who knows the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to understand his ability to use anyone in any condition he wishes for his deen. One of Hazrat's devoted helpers, Sheikh Muhammad Tutla, campaigned the most and will say that if Hazrat came to South Africa even once, the illumination of Iman will enlighten the land and provide the sustenance to spirituality, rectifying the people. Read the story of his efforts to bring Hazrat to South Africa. In his own words, he says, "I was restless to bring Hazrat to South Africa, but whenever I observed his condition, I would stay quiet. Still, I never lost hope. And then, a few years back, I saw a dream that predicted Hazrat's coming. I saw in a dream that people are being informed in the Stanger Masjid, Stanger, South Africa, that Hazrat is arriving in 1 or 2 days. In the dream, I'm anxious, thinking, how is this going to happen? And how are we going to make arrangements on such short notice? Finally, the day came and nothing had been arranged. And yet, I am looking for a place near the masjid to install the comb for Hazrat. This dream raised my hopes. After the journey to London, the subject came up as to where Hazrat will spend the next Ramadan. Hazrat said, Africa should be given priority over the USA, since our good friends like Sheikh Yusuf Tutla live in South Africa. Thereafter, I stopped over at Medina Munawwara en route to the convention in Durban in March 1980. Hazrat said to me, what brings you here? Hazrat's permanent servant, Abu Hassan, replied, Hazrat, he has come to take you with him. Hazrat replied, my beloved, I am frail and can barely make it to the blessed precinct. How do you say this? Precinct?
Precinct?
But pray for me, you need the Holy Haram. This raised my hopes even more. Then after the Tabligh convention in US, I came to Faisalabad, Pakistan. The moment he saw me, Hazrat said, I have been thinking about you for a couple of days. We are coming to your place. I said, Hazrat, on this journey? He replied, you can discuss that with Abul Hassan and Abdul Hafiz. So all three of us sat to discuss the matter. Abul Hassan said, as for now, the plan is for Hazrat to travel to Saharanpur and stay there for 3 or 4 months after Ramadan. And then we'll need some quiet time to acquire the visa and papers to travel to South Africa. In that case, it is best that Hazrat comes in Ramadan. I thought, it is not Hazrat's routine to spend Ramadan anywhere else but in Saharanpur. I hope the plan doesn't change and Hazrat decides to stay in Saharanpur for Ramadan. This thought made me restless. A few days later, I came to Hazrat. His helpers were massaging his feet. Hearing the sound of footsteps, he asked, who is it? One of Hazrat's main helpers, Sheikh Najibullah, said, it is Sheikh Yusuf Tutla. I said, Hazrat, I wanted to ask you about your plans for South Africa. Hazrat said, these brothers are asking me to spend Ramadan here, but That will be decided in Rajab. Abdul Hafiz, you know, Shimon Abdul Hafiz is my key. And the order will come from Medina Munawwara, from the Prophet ﷺ. After this, Hazrat traveled from Faisalabad to Saharanpur. Upon arrival in Saharanpur, he became extremely sick. When I saw Hazrat's condition, I didn't have the courage to say anything and returned to South Africa. After some time, when Hazrat arrived in Medina Munawwara from Saharanpur, I wrote a letter to Sheikh Abdul Hafiz stating that you shall come to South Africa for the Tabligh convention and assess the situation and arrangement if Hazrat decides to come for Ramadan. It will give Hazrat some peace of mind. Consequently, Sheikh Abdul Hafiz and Qazi Sahib were already planning a trip to London and South Africa. However, it was yet to be confirmed. When Sheikh received the letter, they decided to make the trip and came down to South Africa. They checked everything and notified Hazrat of the prospects of Ramadan in South Africa after the return. A few days later, Dr. Ismail Memon telephoned me to say that Hazrat has decided to come and that I will be the host. However, the plan will be confirmed in Rajab. After Rajab, it was decided that Hazrat will spend his Ramadan in South Africa. Hazrat sent me a letter laying out the conditions for spending Ramadan in South Africa. This letter was quite a surprise for the people here in South Africa. The letter is reproduced below. Respected Al-Haj Sheikh Yusuf Tutla Sahib, after Sunnah Salam, I haven't heard from you lately. I was also very sick during this time. It was difficult to write or even listen to the letters. I wish to spend Ramadan at your place for a long time, but this year the inclination was much stronger. It has been my routine to perform istikhara many months prior to Ramadan, and I have been doing it for the last 15 days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless wherever He decides for my Ramadan. I have been told from different people that they see dreams and glad tidings indicating that I will be spending it in your place. However, nothing is confirmed yet. This will be clarified in the first week of Rajab. If your place is decided, then I will arrive on the 15th of Shaban and depart on the 15th of Shawwal. You sent a letter many days ago to Abdul Hafiz, but he wasn't here. I sent the letter to Makkah to Sheikh Abdul Hafiz with a note that if anything is in the letter for me, Hazrat Sheikh, send it back. He, Sheikh Abdul Hafiz, wrote back that there was no letter for me, Hazrat, and just small talk with him. Sheikh Abdul Hafiz. I am writing some things ahead of time for your ease and information, so that if you have any questions, you can ask me now. I have always been living off of you and receive your gifts every year. But since this journey is for a very specific reason and you are hosting the whole event, I leave the matter in your hands. If anyone wishes to give gifts to Hazrat, it is his responsibility. It is his responsibility and your responsibility to refuse them. I shall be accommodated in a building that is under your management, but which can accommodate a large gathering of people. There were 1,000 people in the beginning of Ramadan in Faisalabad, which increased to a couple of thousand before the end of Ramadan month. I will stay in one place only. I heard your house and the masjid are small, and the Ahmad Mia and Ibrahim Mia's place are larger. You may discuss on which is the best place for my accommodation. I prefer to stay in your place, but I have heard that it is too small. Furthermore, you are not allowed to pay for the expenses of those accompanying me on this trip. I will have 5 people with me. The cost of their round trip is solely my responsibility. Number 2, gifts will not be accepted from anyone but those who are in the habit of sending from before. You know better who they are. I want to keep myself safe from the accusation that these Maulavis come in the name of Ramadan and then collect funds for themselves and their schools. The only exception to this rule is Qadi Abdul Qadir Sahib and Mufti Mahmood, because of their personal contacts and relations there. I have nothing against their accepting gifts or compensation for their travel expenses. Number 3, gather as many Zakireen as you can until the 15th of Shaban, but remember that the exact time of arrival will be confirmed in the first week of Rajab. I'm only telling you this for your information. Number 4, I am very sick. You take responsibility for the stay with me for one day, or stay for one day issue. And when somebody says come to my house or come to my place for one day, I don't have the strength to go here and there. You have your own personal relations with Mufti Sahib and Qadi Sahib. Take them wherever you like. I am not writing this to you only. The same conditions were laid out for Yusuf Mutala, our Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala last year. Number 5, there should be no formalities in terms of food. I like the Chacha Sadi's invitation of Siraj. The truth is that I lose my appetite when I see a variety of dishes. There should be one or two types of food at the most and nothing more. Umar radiallahu anhu used his whip for anyone who cooked more than two dishes. We are considered the elders. We shall try at least to adhere to the ways of our predecessors. 6, since discussions have already started about coming to your place, and I heard that the trip to your place is 6 to 7 hours long, I'm extremely anxious and tense. I heard that there's a charter plane that brings in people going for Hajj and returns without any passengers. If this is true, please let me know. I'm awfully frightened. I am already sick, frail, and my feet are in the grave, while my friends are still young. May Allah reward all of you. Dr. Ismail Sahib says that Maulavi Yusuf himself told him about this charter plane. I would also like to know the cost of the ticket and what time it departs from here, Medina. I am so worried about that 8-hour trip. May Allah fulfill your wish of many years and make it the most beneficial. Otherwise, I never went on vacation trips even when I was young. 7, the plan is not yet confirmed. In 6 months, Hazrat Sheikh lost his broke his slippers. He lost his six months. He broke his slippers. He lost his slippers. He didn't have time to go to the bazaar to get new slippers. He was walking barefooted when he had to, and he only wanted to go to madrasa and back. That's it. 2 places in the masjid. That's it. And the plan is not yet confirmed. That will be in Rajab, but in his Mawlana Talhas of his son, he's the same. If anybody wants to take him, even when he came to Zambia last year, when I was there, his son, even when he came to Canada, the whole world goes to see Niagara Falls. Nobody could take him to Niagara Falls. Nobody could. Like somebody said that there's a Khanka over there, or there's a Darulum there, or there's something there, a Tablighi Ijtima we're going to, then somebody could take him, and then on the way take him to show Niagara Falls. Otherwise he won't go. If somebody says, let's go to Niagara Falls, let's go there, he won't go nowhere. His father never ever, they went anywhere sightseeing. It's not haram, but I mean, that was their connection with, you know, nothing got to do with Dunya Allah. Wassalam, written by Habibullah for Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, February 2nd, 1981. In another letter he writes, Gather as many dhakirin as you can who promise to devote their time in life to this cause of dhikr of Allah. I remember my uncle, Shaykh Ilyas, that if someone gave him a gift, he said, I don't want your gift, I want you. Also, remember to arrange matters such that I don't have to go anywhere. From these letters, the reader quickly realizes Hazrat Shaykh's wisdom, prudence, insight, sagaciousness, austerity, independence, and faithfulness to his mission. After this letter, Shaykh Yusuf Tutla, Hazrat Ibrahimiyah, Hafiz Shakir Desai, came to Medina and convinced Hazrat until he finalized his plan and decided to come. During this time, many people offered to pay for Hazrat and his helpers' tickets and other expenses, but Hazrat refused, paying for them and himself from his own account. All the expenses came to 200,000 rupees according to that time. After this, they returned and set about preparing for Hazrat's arrival, choosing the venue, Stanger Masjid. The biggest issue facing the organizers and Hazrat also was finding the right place for Hazrat for i'tikaf. Sheikh Ibrahimiyah and Mufti Ahmad Miyah, close confidant of Hazrat, the Khulafa of Hazrat, insisted that Hazrat stay in Johannesburg and spoke with Hazrat for half an hour over the phone. They presented 32 reasons as to why Hazrat should perform i'tikaf in Johannesburg. But since it was colder in Johannesburg and the masjid was small, it was marked off the list. Since South Africa is south of the equator, summer in Hijaz, and India is winter in South Africa, Stanger is south of Johannesburg. Therefore, the weather in Stanger is more moderate. The masjid is also spacious and comprises 3 stories. The third story holds approximately 1,200 people, while the lower two about 1,000 each. There's a sufficient number of restrooms and ample parking around the masjid for cars. Hot and cold water is available. A luxury in many countries, and the surrounding areas is peaceful. In addition, some glad tidings were given about this masjid. Another main reason, the Stanger Masjid was favored over other masjids. Hazrat's special helper, Sheikh Najibullah, saw in his dream that he is in the building where Hazrat stayed before Ramadan in Stanger. The eastern front of this building has a large minaret that glimmers like the minaret that stands next to the Blessed Prophet Sallallahu's green dome in Medina Munawwara. He is on his way somewhere when someone stopped him, saying, Najibullah, listen, somebody is calling out from the minaret. Yes, Who is it? And then he himself came by the minara and heard someone saying, Ni'mal abd, ni'mal abd. What a great servant, what a great servant. He began climbing the skyscraping minarat. As he was about to reach the top, he heard, Ni'mal abd Zakariya, ni'mal abd Zakariya. What a great servant Zakariya is. He was about to climb higher when he thought, what if Hazrat calls me? As he was about to turn back, he woke up. One quick look at the arrangement. Before narrating the details of Hazrat's journey, it is appropriate to say a few words about the sincere workers, their fervor and sacrifice who made the whole event possible. This is just one way of letting them know our appreciation for and recognition of their hard work. As the hadith says, whoever is not grateful to the people is not grateful to Allah. And also to inform others of their sincerity, ikhlas, and love for the deen of Allah. As the readers know, the masjid was spacious and big, but as the gathering and number of visitors grew, especially during the weekends, when the number exceeded 7,000 people, there was need for additional accommodation. Therefore, three tents, each accommodating 3,000 people, were pitched on three sides of the masjid. Also, a large building adjacent to the masjid was allocated for the accommodation, including food and drinks for guests who visited during the weekend, as well as for the 100 volunteers who served the guests daily. In preparation and expectation of a large inflow of guests, 50 faucets, 12 bathrooms, and 4 baths were added to the existing 50 faucets, 12 bathrooms, and 2 baths. Four pre-existing baths, with only cold water supply, were provided with hot water through 2 large water tanks that were installed nearby. 2 men were permanently assigned to maintain the heat of the water in the tanks 24 hours a day. A wireless system was also installed to sustain the crowd, especially during the weekend. Also, an information center staffed with a physician from 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. was opened temporarily near the masjid, which provided first aid and medication. A public phone was also set up by the masjid. May Allah reward the imam who temporarily resigned from his administrative duties and also vacated his 4-room house for the guests. Besides Qadi, who stayed the whole month, 10 to 15 other special guests were also accommodated in the imam's house. Another major issue was parking space. Though the parking area around the masjid accommodated as many as 150 cars, it was nevertheless inadequate, since most people keep cars here as they have a difficult time getting around without one. However, the question was where to find space for people to park their cars. The lineup of cars was approximately half a mile long. Though five cars will be parked against each other on the all sides along the sides and middle of the road, the government designated the whole road as parking space and assigned traffic control police to cordon off the area from general traffic. Despite all these measures, parking space was still lacking. And even when Hazrat came, a whole thing of police escort. Because there's thousands, even in the customs in England, they've never seen people like this. Thousands of people all of a sudden. So for Hazrat's comfort, a small room was built with a permanent commode next to Hazrat's quarters, which made it easy for Hazrat to attend to his personal needs. Another room furnished with a kitchen and hot and cold water supply was built next to Hazrat's room for his helpers. The arrangement for Sahari Niftar and food and drink of the guests were superb. The volunteers truly showed their open-heartedness and hospitality in this matter. Even the guests became embarrassed sometimes. Hazrat constantly emphasized the importance of taking care of the guests and reminded them of Chacha Sadi's invitation of Siraj. The story is here. The story is that Sheikh Sadi was invited by one of his students. He prepared a variety of dishes, sweets, and platters for his teacher. Once the Sheikh ate, he uttered, "Oh, the invitation of Siraj." The student thought he was complaining about the food. The student invited the Sheikh a few days later and prepared a bigger feast than last time. Once the Sheikh had eaten, he uttered, "Oh, the invitation of Siraj." The student felt he had not satisfied the teacher yet. He called him a few days later, this time preparing the biggest feast ever. The teacher ate and uttered the same as last time. The student was now curious to know how great the invitation of Siraj was. He asked, "Oh my teacher, what is the invitation of Siraj?" The Sheikh said, "Come to my house in a couple of days and I will treat you to the invitation of Siraj." A few days later, the student came to his Sheikh's house and sat down. The teacher bought out dried bread and leftover food, sat down with him to eat, and proclaimed, "This is the invitation of Siraj." Then after a short while, he said, "Your invitation only lasts a few days, while the invitation of Siraj can be held every day of the year. So understand, all the invitation of Siraj. So you thought, oh, some big feast, Shaykh Iwan. Hazrat constantly emphasized the importance of taking care of the guests and reminded them of Chacha Sadi's invitation of Siraj. The helpers went out of their way to serve and care for the guests and often humbly admitted they never did enough and were lacking in this regard. 100 volunteers were appointed for taking care of the guests, 50 of whom were entrusted with iftar and 50 wasar. The lower story of the masjid was for the local people in i'tikaf, while the second and third story was for foreigners and special guests. And the lower story, iftar, consisted of rice, meat, sweets, fruit, drinks, biscuits and tea after tarawih. 5 or 6 different types of curries were made for guests from abroad to accommodate their taste. Sheikh Yusuf Tutla supervised one group that comprised of Sheikh Abdul Hafiz, Sufi Muhammad Iqbal, Sheikh Yusuf Mutala and Mufti Suleiman Pandor. This group attended to various duties. The group in charge of foreign affairs was Yunus Norgat, Ghulam Hussein Mullah, Ayub Ishaq, Qasim Mehter, while Ismail Hafiji, Ahmad Manjan and Brother Abid were in charge of kitchen duties. The responsibility for for announcements, translation for foreign guests and managing the gathering fell on the Sheikh Qasim Borat, who executed his duties professionally and beautifully. The crowd was also quick to obey his command. They obeyed with the first announcement, departure from Medina and the journey to reunion. The plan to spend Ramadan in South Africa was finalized and the necessary preparations were complete when Sheikh Sayyid Angar arrived from reunion with 4 friends to meet Hazrat in Medina. He requested Hazrat that he come to reunion, saying, "Please come to our place for a short time, either on your way or when returning from South Africa." Sheikh Sayyid Ingar had long-standing relations with Hazrat, had translated many of Hazrat's books, and is presently the director of the Islamic Center in Reunion. Hazrat told his helpers to ask him, "How many khanqahs will they establish and how many zakirins are they going to prepare?" This was the only condition Hazrat put for visiting reunion. Sheikh Abdul Hafiz said, "Since there is no concessionary fare for this trip unless one purchases a year-round ticket, the expense will become outrageously high and the ticket fare will increase by 50%. Hazrat replied, "Don't worry about that. Just make sure my conditions are fulfilled. Are they going to establish khanqahs and prepare zakirin?" The reunion delegation promised that khanqahs will be established in St. Denis and St. Paul. 10 to 15 zakirin are ready for dhikr, while others are ready to be instructed for dhikr. After that, Hazrat made his decision to visit reunion. They insisted upon paying for the ticket, but Hazrat refused and paid for everything himself. Hazrat's special helper, Sheikh Ismail Badat, Imam Ismail Badat, this tasbih was given to me for him. This one here. And him and my Hazrat got ijazat khilaf of my Sheikh. My Yusuf got ijazat the same day. And said he saw a dream a day or 2 days before that he was called and my Sheikh was called and they were sacrificed. And then 2 days after, Hazrat Sheikh gave him ijazat. When Hazrat Sheikh put on the mishla of ijazat, the thing I wear, like that, Hazrat Mu'ayy smiled for that, he went screaming and he fell down unconscious. He stayed like that for 2-3 days, like he didn't even know. And then after, he renews this Mu'ayy smiled for that. He does one Quran khatam every day behind the Prophet ﷺ's grave there in Medina. He lives in Medina and now he's on an electric wheelchair and that. But he's a very pious person. So him and my Sheikh got ijazah on the same day in Sahrampur. Hazrat departed on the 4th of Shaban, 6th of Sheikh Ismail Badat, and had already left for reunion to survey the arrangements there. Hazrat departed on the 4th of Shaban, 6th of June on Saturday in Asar from Medina and reached Badr shortly after Maghrib, before Maghrib. After Maghrib, they departed from Makkah and arrived 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. in Brother Sadi's house. After Umrah, everyone ate and Hazrat's rested. On the 14th of Shaban, 16th of June, he departed for Jeddah on Monday night and arrived at the masjid of the old Jeddah airport where a large crowd had already gathered. Mufti Zainul Abideen led everyone in dua. Then Hazrat departed for the new airport at 15:15 p.m. 10:15 p.m. Dr. Zafiruddin had taken permission to take Hazrat through the gate from which the royal family traveled, Al-Babul Malik. Once they reached the airport, officials stamped the passport and some people were allowed to board with Hazrat. The plane departed from Jeddah for Jeddah for Madagascar. However, as the plane was not granted access to land in Madagascar, it continued onwards without refueling and arrived 45 minutes before scheduled time in Reunion. Despite the early arrival, the crowd had come to welcome Hazrat at the airport. At the airport was enormous. Sheikh Saeed Ingar boarded the plane with friends. Hazrat left the airport without checking through the customs, but waited outside until his helpers passed through the customs. After everyone was out, Sheikh Abdul Hafiz supplicated, and then everyone departed for the main residence. It was previously announced that there will be no immediate gathering for people to meet with Hazrat. Immediately after arrival, the schedule for the daily routine was as follows. After Fajr, individual devotions, breakfast at 8:30 p.m., reading session between 10 a.m. and 11, in which Fadail-e Ramadan was read in French, Dhuhr at 1:15 p.m., Asr at 4:30 p.m., after Asr, gathering for Bayt and meeting with Hazrat. After Maghrib, Khatmi Kajgan, then gathering dhikr until the Adhan of Isha. Isha at 8 p.m., after Isha, Surah Yasin, followed by Dua and Bayt of women, then dinner. On the 18th of Shaban, 20th of June, Hazrat left from St. Denis to St. Paul to take women in Bayt. It was vacation time and cars were everywhere, because of which Hazrat arrived late at the school. Upon arrival, a few close friends met with Hazrat, and then he inaugurated the memorization of some students. Shortly after, the women and some men took Bayt with Hazrat. After Bayt, Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Hafiz led everyone in dua, followed by a gathering with Hazrat in which everyone met and shook hands with him. During this time, Hazrat also blew in the bottles of water and honey for blessings. As Zuhr time started, it was prayed immediately after the gathering. After Zuhr, an enormous mat was laid out for food, which was attended by approximately 1,000 people. Thereafter, everyone rested until Asr, which was prayed immediately after its time arrived. After Asr, everyone left to attend a gathering arranged for the women. Sheikh Abdul Hafiz had already arrived earlier. His talk deeply affected the women, and many of them began wearing the veil, though it was unheard of in Reunion. Maghrib was prayed upon arriving at the residence in St. Denis. Despite the continuous travelling, Hazrat was in good health and not in the least bit tired. The next day, on the 21st of June, Sunday, everyone shook hands with Hazrat. Sheikh Ismail Ingar, Uncle Sheikh Saeed, Ingar's uncle, Sheikh Saeed Ingar, was very grateful for Hazrat's visit to Reunion and presented Hazrat with an official address of appreciation on behalf of the Muslims of Reunion at the airport. Hazrat's helper and a large crowd prayed Maghrib with Hazrat. Then Hazrat boarded South African Airlines on the 19th of Shaban, 21st of June, arriving at Durban Airport at 9:15 p.m. local time. Arrival at Durban. The news of Hazrat's arrival spread throughout the country like wildfire. People longed to see and meet with Hazrat, and many people had grown beards in anticipation. The fervor for Deen was like never before, each minute and second being counted for Hazrat to arrive. Now, as Hazrat was about to arrive, people sat eagerly waiting. It was a time to fulfill the yearning in their hearts, to light the fire of love of Allah and gain success of the material world of the hereafter. Thousands of people yearn for just one glimpse of Hazrat's honorable successor, Mufti Mahmud Gangohi, also came to receive Hazrat at the request of the local people to teach them the proprieties and correct way of gaining blessings from the elders. A large group of Mufti Mahmud's murids was originally from South Africa. Two lifts carried Hazrat Sheikh with his wheelchair off the airplane and into the airport. Hazrat's main host, Sheikh Yusuf Tutla, Abdul Khalik Desai, Brother Padia, and other respected members of the Durban community were at the airport to receive Hazrat. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud led everyone in dua, and then Hazrat departed with his helpers to Sheikh Yusuf Tutla's residence. Before Hazrat's arrival, posters had already been posted everywhere highlighting Hazrat's schedule. The schedule is as follows. Individually daily devotion after Fajr, then rest. Breakfast at 9 p.m. A talk by Mufti Mahmud from 11 a.m. to 10 a.m. Lunch after Dhuhr, then rest. Public gathering after Asr. Khatmi Kajgan after Maghrib, followed by gathering of Dhikr. Surah Yasin after Isha, followed by Dua. Then inauguration of students' Quran. Bayt of women and of men and women, followed by meeting and shaking hands with Hazrat. Dinner. Hazrat and his successors attended the last meeting of a Tablighi convention, Jamaat, being held during that time. On the 29th of Shaban, Thursday, Hazrat shifted with all the guests from the residence to the masjid.
earlier in the day. Hazrat visited the Stanger Muslim Cemetery after Asr and supplicated for the Sheikh, Sheikh Yusuf Tughlaq's parents and all deceased Muslims. This cemetery is a vast open field. Rows of Muslim graves lay side by side with rows of Christian graves. A large barbed wire fence runs in the middle. Before Maghrib, everyone arrived at the masjid and laid out their beds in their designated areas. On the 2nd of July, 1st of Ramadan, news of the moon sighting in Johannesburg was received by phone and the daily routine was set. The daily routine from Ramadan. The goal was to make the daily routine schedule the same as in Saharanpur, and in this the organizers were extremely successful. The Sunnah of Fajr was prayed immediately after Fajr Adhan, followed immediately after by Fajr Salah. Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, our Sheikh, formerly the principal of Darulum in Bolton, England, and one of the graduates of Mazahir Ulum Saharanpur, was a permanent imam for Fajr Salat. He is also one of the beloved and close successors of Hazrat Sheikh. Hazrat came to England 2 years prior on his invitation and intends to visit again for the completion of the 6 books of Hadith, Sayyid Sitta, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing. The existence of the Darulum in a place like England, in Great Britain, is in itself a miracle. Hazrat always worries about the progress and growth of this Darulum. Hundreds of branches of this Darulum all over around the world. This was that time before 1980. Yeah. About the progress and growth of this Darulum, the fruits of which are evident for one who visits there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this Dr. Ismail Sahab, the writer of this book, all his sons graduated from there. Maulana Ibrahim, Maulana Mansoor, Mufti Hussain. Mufti Hussain was 1 year behind me. He was my roommate. And then they're all graduated from there. And they were living in Medina at that time. Understand? There's a sheikh called Sheikh Taha, the person in charge of Masjid al-Haram. If anybody wanted to give dars, they had to take his permission in Masjid al-Haram. He was in charge of all the imams and everything. His son used to study in Darul Umbadi too, Sheikh Taha. Understand? When Sheikh Taha, when Hazrat Sheikh passed away, so whenever he had to go anywhere, he had to take permission from King Faisal, because that time he was King Faisal. So that time he goes, that he didn't take permission when Sheikh Zakaria passed away in Medina. From Makkah, he wrote to King Faisal that my father has passed away in Medina. My brother is there. My mother Hassab is there. I'm going 3 days for Taziyat and I'll be back in 3 days. Wassalam. He wrote this to King Faisal. That's how much he loved Sheikh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria, alhamdulillah. So even his successors, alhamdulillah, I got a chance to meet him. I was in his one dars in the Masjid al-Haram. So there's all old people. Most of them are Habshi, mashallah, big beards, Amama. And before he starts his dars, he pulls out a stack of notes like this and gives it out to all the people. Allah's given him, mashallah. He was Sheikh Taha. So his son, he was studying in the Darul Umbadi too. Understand? So people from all around, imagine people left Makkah and Medina and they came to the Darul Umbadi to study. Understand? Because of Hazrat Sheikh's ajib tawajju on that Darul Umbadi, thousands of people have benefited. So Hazrat, may Allah keep Sheikh Yusuf Mutala and his Darulum under his protection and grant it the ability to succeed and progress. Ameen. After Fajr, the newcomers and those departing get an opportunity to shake hands with Hazrat. During the weekends, this meeting with Hazrat was scheduled after Isha. In the beginning of Ramadan, Mufti Mahmood gave a talk from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. for nearly 1 week. After that, he and Sheikh Abdul Halim alternated every day. These talks were mostly about the tasawwuf and general advice to the people. Mufti Mahmood Alhamdulillah has gained permission in Tasawwuf from Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Halim Jahanpuri, Shah Wasiullah Ilabadi. Mufti Mahmood has gained permission in Tasawwuf from Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakaya, Sheikh Abdul Halim Jahanpuri, and Sheikh Wasiullah Ilabadi. He is a Mazahir Ulum alumnus, one of the board members and head Mufti of Darul Ulum Deoban today. He's head Mufti of Darul Ulum Deoban. Right now, the head Mufti of Darul Ulum Deoban is here. He's in Thorncliffe, 65 building. Maulana Habibur Rahman, Mufti Habib Rahman. He is the head Mufti right now in Darul Ulum Deoban. He's here. He's very old, about 70, 80 years old. Alhamdulillah, just before the day coming in Etikaf on Tuesday, alhamdulillah, I just found out and went to meet him. Because he's, alhamdulillah, so I sat with him then. Alhamdulillah, he's a very, very pious person. If we get a chance to even see him and meet him. He's the head Mufti of Darul Ulum Deoban right now. So the Hazrat Sheikh wanted to give him ijazah. And he said, I'm very busy with knowledge in that. I will not fulfill it. The responsibilities of that, mashallah, that's how he was. Mufti Mahmoodan, so
He is the Hazrat Mufti Mahmud. So Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan was the Grand Mufti of the Ulum Deoband at that time, in the time. And he was also Hazrat Sheikh's Mufti. Even though he was Hazrat Sheikh's Khalifa, if there was anything, he would ask Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan, is it halal, haram, or is this right, is this wrong? It's whatever Mufti Sahib would say. Halaki, the greatest Mufti at Hazrat Sheikh's time was Hazrat Sheikh himself, but he never ever gave fatwas. Presently, he is one of the greatest personalities in the Muslim world, especially in the Indian subcontinent, more specifically Bangladesh, and an authority in Islamic jurisprudence and rhetoric debate. He is an exemplar of the predecessors in his strength, grasp, and depth of the knowledge of deed, and in his humility and simplicity. He is also one of the most honored successors of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria. One can read more about him in the book The Scholars of Mazahir al-Ulum, The Literary and Scholastic Contributions by Sheikh Muhammad Shahid. Khatmi Khajgan after Zuhar, followed by Gatherings of Dhikr. Open gathering after Asr, in which the book Irshadul Muluk, Ikmalul Shayam, and the book the Nisbat or Ijaza are read. At first, it was read by Sheikh Najibullah and then Sheikh Mu'inuddin Muradabadi. And he came to Manana Sheikh Mu'inuddin Muradabadi. He came on Ramzan to Darussalam too. He's Khalifa of the Sheikh. Understand? He's passed away. He passed away. At the end of his autobiography in the Hazrat Sheikh and his Khulafas, in there he wrote, "We all drank from Hazrat Sheikh and the two brothers, my father-in-law and my Sheikh, and Imam Yusuf and Imam Abdul Rahim Sahib. They were given to drink. We drank from Hazrat Sheikh. We went to drink, and those two brothers were given to drink." This is how close my Sheikh and my father-in-law were to Hazrat Sheikh. Hazrat Maulana Mu'inuddin Muradabadi, he's passed away. He was Hazrat Sheikh's Khalifa too. He came to Darussalam 1 year, about seven years ago, he came for Ramadan. And so he used to do all the talim. My father always tells me he still remembers Maulana Muradabadi, Maulana Mu'inuddin Muradabadi. He used to do the talim. He had a special way of doing it. Everybody, it's a very difficult kitab, Ikmal al-Shayam, but people would understand the way he would do the talim and make people understand. So, Sheikh Mu'inuddin, who is the Sheikh al-Hadith of Madrasa Imdadiya Muradabad, India, and one of the long-time devotees and successors, Khalifa of Hazrat, his manner of reading makes it easy for listeners to understand the book. Dinner after Maghrib. The curtains of Hazrat's quarters are removed at about 7 p.m. and people come to sit with Hazrat after they finish their dinner. In this gathering, students commence their Quran with Hazrat and sometimes bayt was also held at this time. This gathering ended with a short dua. The adhan of Isha was given at 7:30 p.m. and Isha, then Taravi began at 8 p.m. Taravi was led by Hazrat's son-in-law, Sheikh Salman. He has recited approximately 18 Qurans in Taravi to Hazrat. He arrived in South Africa before Ramadan from Sarampur. In the first year, he recited three parts in every Taravi. Hazrat explained that the reason three parts were recited, three juz, was so that people who arrive late are not deprived of listening to the whole Quran in Ramadan. But due to Hazrat's illness, his routine could not be upheld. This routine could not be upheld, and it was decreased to one part. Ramadan began with one and a quarter part, and then one part each day until the Quran was completed on the 29th. Sheikh recites the Quran clearly and fluently. Sometimes during the salat, he loses his voice and cries, moving the hearts of the listeners who are standing behind him. Surah Yasin and Dua after Isha. The reading session is managed by Sheikh Shahid, who is Hazrat's grandson and successor of Sheikh Inamul Hassan's son-in-law. He is one of the acclaimed graduates of Mazahir Ulum and the author of Tariqi Mazahir. The reading session was held after a reading of the Hadith of Salat al-Salam. This year, two books, Fadail Ramadan and Akabir Ki Ramzan, were read. The only exception was Saturday night, in which the odes of Jami, the odes from Qasida Bahariya Nanotia and Maut Ki Yad were sung. During the weekend, people met with Hazrat after Isha. After the book and bottles of water and honey were brought in for blowing into for blessings, so many people came with honey and almonds to be blown into that the local stores ran out their supplies, while the number of bottles had also increased to the extent that it became difficult for Hazrat to blow into them. Then two tanks were brought in and filled with water. After Hazrat blew into them, the water from the two tanks was distributed amongst the people, and then Hazrat blew into 2 gallons of water that were then poured into the tank water. In the beginning, women also came for Taravi in the tents near the masjid. Loudspeakers were installed on the minarets so that they could listen to the recitation of the Holy Quran. But when Mufti Mahmud objected to this, the loudspeakers were removed. The women were told not to attend the congregation, but that if they wished, they could listen to the Quran in the hall. Mufti Mahmud and Sheikh Abdul Hakim delivered the talks before Jummah, while Sheikh Abdul Hafiz was permanently in charge of Jummah. He also led the dua throughout the blessed month. Sheikh Abdul Hafiz is also one of the respected successors of Hazrat, who has been blessed, who has been blessed him with an elevated spiritual rank, and is also a graduate of Mazahir al-Ulum Saharanpur, Imam Abdul Hafiz. He's also the Khalifa of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. And he's usually the one who talks to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and used to take permission for Hazrat's journeys to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Observation, reflection and results. One day when I was pressing his legs, because I was asked him, what's Mukashafa? Because he talks to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I asked him, he was in Darul Umbari, so I was pressing his legs. And Imam Abdul Hafiz is heavy, he's big. But imagine, he's heavy, he's big, but if you see his ruku, 100% straight, even though he has a belly, mashallah. You see his salat, perfect salat. I've never seen a person that, mashallah, bigger than. So Hazrat, he's white, very mashallah, handsome, but he's big. So Hazrat, I used to press his legs, so I said to him, because Mukashafa, so I asked him, what's Mukashafa? So then he explained me, because I heard that he has a lot of Mukashafa, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Sheikh used to tell him, that ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for permission. That thing. So he talked to the Prophet ﷺ and get permission. And then there was a lot of dreams too. Dreams of his, Sufi Iqbal Sahib's, my sheikhs, and everybody's, Maulana Yusuf Dullah's, all these people's. Hazrat and Hazrat Sheikh's dreams himself, that all the journeys that Hazrat went were all dreams. Observation, reflection, and results. Hazrat's coming to a place of disbelief, kufr, was undoubtedly a rahmah and blessing and a clear sign that brought out truth, haq from falsehood, batil. He changed the climate of the country and people began feeling a spiritual revolution within them. Even those who were opposed to Hazrat became regretful. Al-Fadlu ma shahidat bihil a'da. Greatness is that which the enemies bear witness to. People from every class and walk of life were amazed by this miraculous turn of events. When they entered the environs of this area, abounding in spiritual liveliness, they found the panacea for the spiritual, they found the cure, the spiritual sicknesses afflicting their hearts. They gain a peace of mind and tranquility that they will have never been able to achieve through their own efforts and plans alone. Thousands of people came in droves from every corner of the country, driven only by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars, students, labor workers, white collar workers, businessmen, hadith masters, jurists, Sufis, all gathered in this place to be filled with the light of iman and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once people stepped in, they had no desire to come out. They sat down almost impulsively and cried over their past life and begged for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the worship began after Taraweeh, the atmosphere became charged. Some are reciting Quran, some are standing behind groups of Hufaz in voluntary salah, some are trembling and crying in front of Allah, and some are conversing with Allah in their dua. Words cannot express the spiritual liveliness of that time. Even the police officers who patrolled the area during the night were affected by the calming and peaceful atmosphere. Magazines and newspapers also had much to say about the event. Opponents who had vehemently opposed Hazrat's coming, distributing pamphlets and building it into a movement, came to Hazrat showing regret for their actions. They admitted their faults, expressed their regret, and begged Hazrat for forgiveness. The ringleaders who instigated the use of physical force against the Ahlul Haq also came asking Hazrat for his forgiveness. Hazrat was just as fast in forgiving them. Since no khanqahs exist in this part of the world, most people are either completely ignorant of tasawwuf or don't think much of it. In a country deeply rooted in European culture and ideals, this spirituality was something of a marvel. Whoever stepped into this atmosphere felt like an arrow had pierced their heart. He trembled and was permeated with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and returned with the firm intention to change his life to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were about 400 people in i'tikaf. Scholars, students, professors, physicians, and people from every walk of life attended the gatherings. University students who happened to be on a 3-week vacation came in large numbers and took refuge in the worship of Allah. In fact, most of the volunteers running the daily operation of i'tikaf were university students. They began to work at iftar times, and after taking a few dates and water, began serving the guests with love, care, and dedication. Their way of taking care of the guests was truly fascinating. Nobody ever needed to ask for anything. Despite a short and quick iftar, they served guests after Maghrib, and once the guests were finished, they ate whatever was left over. After Taraweeh, and these were university students, after Taraweeh, they sat and recited the Quran until Sahri, then stood again to serve the guests for Sahri. This didn't go on for one or two days only, but continued throughout the month of Ramadan. People were also amazed to observe a large group of college students in i'tikaf. One of the elders passed by two students and overheard them talking. One was saying to the other, "You're crazy. Who are you? What are you doing here?" The other replied, "I have come to see the spiritual program." Some of the students were so affected by the environment that they left the university and college to study the knowledge of deen in the schools. Thousands of men and women took bay and various places began holding gatherings of dhikr, six of which are worthy of mention. Stanger Jamia Masjid Sheikh Yusuf Tutla, Spanger Durban Mufti Bashir, Newtown Masjid Sheikh Suleiman Pandor, Linesia Jamia Masjid Ahmed Mia and Ahmed Darvesh, Mufagang Sheikh Muhammad Gardi, Jeremistan, Sheikh Musa Pandor. All of the above mentioned masjids established a daily schedule for the gatherings of dhikr, while seven or eight other places also set up gatherings of dhikr. Another blessing of this atmosphere was that the crowd, despite its enormous numbers, observed calm and quiet all the time. Even with the multitudes of people waiting to shake hands with Hazrat, there was never any pushing or shoving. Everyone obeyed the announcement and controlled their desires and emotions in order to keep the peaceful ambience of the gathering. About 6,000 or 7,000 people gathered on the weekends. As the masjid became short of space, tents were pitched outside in which people also prayed Taraweeh. Hundreds of locals came to attend the Taraweeh, spend the night and then leave early next morning. Durban is about 40 miles from Stanger. Approximately 9 people accepted Islam. During the gathering of dhikr, the chanting of dhikr vibrated everywhere, creating a wonderful and aesthetic feeling and made the dhakirin obvious of everything besides Allah. The effect of the gatherings of dhikr attended by hundreds of people is indescribable. This is the addition to the spiritual aura that can only be felt by the people of spiritual insight, basira, that draped the attendees in its folds. The effect and benefits of Hazrat's visit and stay here are so great they can neither be expressed in words nor put in writing. Below, some of the glad tidings about this event are reproduced for the benefit of the readers. Some glad tidings about the journey to South Africa. On the 27th of Rajab, 1401 Hijri, May 30th, 1981, one of the elders went by the blessed grave of the Blessed Prophet ﷺ, said the Salatu wassalam, and requested that dua be made for Hazrat's health in his journey to South Africa. He suddenly saw the Blessed Prophet ﷺ standing and the sun rising from the other side of the horizon. The Blessed Prophet ﷺ said, "He, Hazrat Shaykh, is the key of truth." Then added, "Innahu miftahul qulub wa bi ru'yatihi tanjalil haqa'iq." He is the key of the hearts, and the realities are manifest through him. After some time, he raised his blessed hands and supplicated, "Allahumma madhar al-haq wa bil-haq adhari bihil-haq." O Allah, the one who manifests truth through the truth, make the truth evident through him. In Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith. The Blessed Prophet read this dua 3 times loudly. On the 28th of Ramadan, Shaykh Muhammad Suleiman Pandor saw the Blessed Prophet in his dream. The Blessed Prophet looked over the whole masjid, Stanger Masjid, and saw two places empty near Hazrat's quarter. The Blessed Prophet objected to them being vacant and said, "These should be for the guests." He, Shaykh Suleiman, became frightened that the Blessed Prophet might complain to Hazrat. After this, the Blessed Prophet walked into Hazrat's quarter and expressed his joy, and Hazrat was also very happy. Then he sees that Hazrat is laying down and the gathering is large and the masjid full. Then Hazrat said something like, "What is all this? Who am I?" A while later I replied, "Hazrat, this is beautiful 24-hour program that has been very beneficial. No one like you has ever come to this part of the world before, nor has any Ramzan been spent in this way. And the gathering of dhikr has benefited the people greatly." Hazrat was happy and beaming with joy. One of the elders was sitting near Hazrat. Hazrat repeatedly said to him, "Look, brother, this is the real thing. Look, this is the real thing." Another elder saw a large cavalcade passing by the masjid shouting, "Hooray for Hazrat Gangohi! Hooray for Hazrat Gangohi!" Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah.
Allah, 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 All Allah razı olsun. Şehadetten fi sabilillah.
Ya Rabbi.